الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading in the work Kashf al-Shubuhat, revealing the doubts by the great Imam Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu ta'ala. And we continue reading from where we left off, and he says rahimahullah, وللمشركين شبهة أخرى وهي أنهم يقولون إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنكر على أسامة رضي الله عنه قتل من قال لا إله إلا الله وقال أقتلته بعدما قال لا إله إلا الله، وكذلك قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يقولوا لا إله إلا الله، وكذلك أحاديث أخرى في الكف عن من قالها. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the mushrikeen, the grave worshippers, those who ascribe to this ummah, yet they fall into major shirk and disbelief. They have fallen into apostasy by associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have another doubt. لَهُمْ شُبْهَةٌ أُخْرَى. They have another doubt, and it is that they say, indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reprimanded Usama. He reprimanded Usama radiallahu anhu, Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma, whenever he killed the man who said La ilaha illallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, did you kill him after he said La ilaha illallah? And also likewise the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was ordered to fight the people until they say La ilaha illallah. And also, as well, other narrations similar that indicate the obligation to refrain from harming the one who says La ilaha illallah. The one who says La ilaha illallah. So these are some of the doubts likewise that they present in these affairs, and it goes back to their deficiency in understanding and their weakness in observing the evidences and not gathering all of the text in one particular issue. We have seen that the means to obtain the pure truth and to understand the true intent from the legislation in a particular issue, it requires for a person first and foremost to be sincere and to free his heart from any attachments or desires or whims or wanting to understand an issue in a particular light, rather to strive to seek to understand the issue based upon the evidences that are found in the book and in the sunnah and the understanding of the sahaba radiallahu anhum. And in order to do that, one, he must gather all of the text in that particular issue. So those people who have doubts and misconceptions, from the means that they establish their doubts and misconceptions and their misunderstandings and they follow their desires, is that either they'll go to the verses that are mutashabihat, as we have seen before, that could carry more than one meaning, and they go to the meaning that is unclear or not supported by the clear text. And they will neglect the clear text in the issue, and they will interpret the unclear text to have a meaning contrary to those clear texts, instead of referring back to those clear texts. Likewise, from their methodology as well, in distorting the meanings and following their desires and misinterpreting the evidences, is by going to texts that are general and interpreting them based upon that, while there are other evidences in the same issue that are restricted and clarified details and requirements with regards to that affair from that this issue here. First, he mentioned that the narration of Usama. The narration of Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, and the story about Usama and one of the battles that they had along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Usama was with another man from the Ansar, and they had overcome a particular tribe, and they had defeated them, and they were in battle, and there were enemies who had fled. And Usama radiallahu anhu, him and another man from the Ansar, they had chased after a man who was fleeing, and they caught up with him. And whenever they caught up with him, and their swords are over his head, suddenly the man, he says, La ilaha illallah. Suddenly the man, he says, La ilaha illallah. And the Ansari, he withheld and refrained. Whenever the man he testified to the statement La ilaha illallah, the Ansari, he refrained and withheld. And Usama radiallahu anhu, he says that I stabbed him with my spear and I killed him. That I stabbed him with my spear and I killed him. And whenever this news reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Usama himself, he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to speak about this issue and to get guidance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was upset and angry about that. And he said, أَقَتَلْتُهُ بَعْدَ أَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَقَتَلْتُهُ بَعْدَ أَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Did you kill him after he said, La ilaha illallah? And even Usama radiallahu anhu, he says, إِنَّمَا كَانَ مُتَعَوِّذًا يعني خَائِفًا مِنَ السَّيْفِ He قَالَهَا مُتَعَوِّذًا That he only said it because he's trying to save himself from the sword. He only said it out of fear of the sword. And in the heat of the moment, he's trying to save himself now. And some narrations likewise, Usama, he said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he killed so-and-so, and he killed so-and-so, and he killed so-and-so. And the likes like this. And just previously, moments ago, the man, he had killed a number of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then whenever the sword is above his head and the spear is at his throat, the man, he says, La ilaha illallah. So the Ansari, he refrained and withheld. He refrained and withheld. But Usama radiallahu anhu, he killed him and finished him. Finished him believing that he was saying that only to protect his blood and to protect his life, and that he was not sincere. And he was only saying that now because the sword was at his throat. Because the sword was at his throat. So this narration is what they're referring to. In some wordings, even the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Usama radiallahu anhu, whenever he presented his excuse, إِنَّمَا كَانَ مُتَعَوِّذًا أو إِنَّمَا قَالَهَا مُتَعَوِّذًا, that he only said that trying to protect himself from the sword, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning he was not sincere. He only said it at that moment to save his life. To save his life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَفَلَا شَقَقْتَ أَنْ قَلْبِهِ أَفَلَا شَقَقْتَ أَنْ قَلْبِهِ أَفَلَا شَقَقْتَ أَنْ قَلْبِهِ Should you not have opened up his heart? حَتَّى تَعْلَمَ أَنْ قَالَهَا So that you know if he really said it or not. Should you not have opened up his chest and opened up his heart to see if he had said it or not? And Usama radiallahu anhu, he said that it was so heavy, and the reprimand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would say over and over, أَقَتَلْتَهُ بَعْدَ أَنْ قَالَهَا أَقَتَلْتُهُ بَعْدَ أَنْ قَالَهَا أَقَتَلْتُهُ بَعْدَ أَنْ قَالَهَا Did you kill him after he said it? Did you kill him after he said it? Every time he presents his excuse, did you kill him after he said, La ilaha illallah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed great anger and reprimanded him in this affair. And Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma, he is known as Hibbu Rasulillah. Usama is Hibbu Rasulillah. And Zayd is Hibbu Rasulillah. And Usama is Ibn Hibbi Rasulillah. And the Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu is from the most beloved people to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his son is Usama, who is also from the most beloved people to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the most dearest of the companions, is Usama and his father Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhuma. But in this affair here, this is with regards to the religion, with regards to the rights of the deen and the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded him severely until he said, I wish I had not accepted Islam until that day. I wish I had not accepted Islam until that day. Meaning that I would not have accepted Islam until this day, so that my Islam would be a means of expiating the great sin that I had fallen into. So in this narration here, there are many benefits. And from that is the great virtue. The great virtue and the heavy weight of that statement, La ilaha illallah, for the one who says it, regardless of his condition. And likewise, the one who says it, then his blood becomes sacred, and immediately. But the point now is that after when he says it, he's not completely safe, rather he will be observed. He will be observed, and then if he establishes the rights of that, then his protection will be guaranteed. As for in the beginning, then no doubt, one he will refrain from him. And he will let him be, and his blood will become sacred. His blood will become sacred at the moment, temporarily, until it's clarified that he's sincere and truthful. And this is with the case of those who accept al-Islam. So the mushrikun, what do they say here? They say, look, how could you declare us to be disbelievers? And we're saying la ilaha illallah all day and all night, and we are praying and we're fasting and the likes like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was upset and reprimanded Usama whenever he killed the man who said la ilaha illallah. So how could you declare us to be disbelievers, or how could you fight against us and the likes like this whenever we say la ilaha illallah? Why don't you withhold like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered Usama to withhold and to refrain? Why don't you withhold from us and refrain from making takfir on us and refrain from fighting us in the same way that the Prophet ﷺ reprimanded Usama radiallahu anhu? So we understand the doubt that they have? You understand the doubt that they have, the misconception that they have? Okay, so this is one issue here. This is one evidence here. The next evidence, likewise, that which has been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah, and likewise Umar ibn al-Khattab and his son Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhum. And it has a number of wordings. And the wording that we read first is one that they're referring to. أُمِرْتُ أَنْ نُقَاتِلَ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَقُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَمَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَقَدْ عَصَّمَ مِنِّي نَفْسَهُ وَمَالَهُ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهِ وَحِسَابُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I was ordered to fight the people until they say La ilaha illallah. So if they say La ilaha illallah, then indeed their soul and their wealth become sacred and safe from me, except for the right of al-Islam, and their reckoning is with Allah. And their reckoning is with Allah. So here they use the likes of this evidence. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this narration, he mentioned, I was ordered to fight the people until they say La ilaha illallah. So if they say La ilaha illallah, then their blood becomes sacred, and their wealth becomes sacred, and their honor becomes sacred, except for in the right of al-Islam. Except for in the right of al-Islam. So they say, we say La ilaha illallah. So our blood is sacred. So our blood is sacred. So these are from the evidences that they use. But the Shaykh, he mentions and he says, Rahimahullah, وَمُرَادُ هَؤُلَاءِ الْجَهَلَ أَنَّ مَنْ قَالَهَا لَا يَكْفُرُ وَلَا يُقْتَلُ وَلَوْ فَعَلَ مَا فَعَلَ. And the intent of these ignorant people in mentioning these evidences here is that they want to claim that whoever says the statement La ilaha illallah, he will never disbelieve and he cannot be killed. And even if he did whatever he did, even if he does whatever he does from the actions and from the deeds. So this is what they want to establish by using these evidences. So they'll use the likes of the story of Usama radiallahu anhu and this narration that we're discussing here, I was ordered to fight the people until they say La ilaha illallah, with claims that these are evidences indicating that whoever says La ilaha illallah, then he can never disbelieve. Even if he did this or did that, even if he committed actions of apostasy, even if he committed actions of shirk, even if he committed actions of major disbelief. And this is what they're trying to say. This is what they're trying to say. That once he says La ilaha illallah, that's it. He can do whatever he likes. And this is similar to the creed of the Murji'ah, Waliyadhu Billah. This is similar to the creed of the Murji'ah, Waliyadhu Billah. But even them themselves, they do not believe that in entirety. And they do not apply this ruling here that they want to establish for themselves in every circumstance and situation. And we have seen this in the previous classes. And the author, he's going to refer back to those issues that have already been established to refute the same doubt. But to emphasize now, this narration here has been narrated by a number of companions. And there's another wording also in Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and this wording has more details. And he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. That I was ordered to fight the people until they bear witness to La ilaha illallah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then in addition to that, وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ, and that they must establish their prayer and also perform the zakat. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ. And therefore, if they do that, then their blood will be sacred and their wealth and protected from me except for in the right of al-Islam. Yani al-Isma is established in this manner. Al-Isma, entering into the fold of Islam and having the sacred rights of the Muslim from the Muslim, and he having his blood considered sacred, and his wealth and honor likewise considered sacred. It's not allowed to violate that, and to transgress the limits with regards to that. This is for the one who testifies to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah here in this narration, and also establishing the prayer and paying the zakat. And this wording here is the wording that is a clarification of that which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had established whenever he fought those people who prohibited and refused to pay the zakat after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they fought them, and those who withheld from paying the zakat, and they refused. They said that they only paid the zakat to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As for after him, they're not paying the zakat to anyone else. Then the Sahaba, they declared them to be disbelievers for denying this obligation, and they fought them, and they fought them. Even Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was only aware of the previous narration, and Ibn Umar, he had the other narration that had more details, verifying that his ijtihad was in accordance to that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when he must make the testimony of faith, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and also establish the prayer, and also establish the zakat, and perform the actions outwardly that are testimony to the authenticity and the truthfulness of his faith. So the shahada is not just a statement. It's not just a word without any meanings. Before it will benefit a person, no doubt he must pronounce that. It's a testimony and a statement on the tongue. And those who are able to speak, they must pronounce it. It will not be accepted from them, even if they claim they believe in their heart. But that testimony on the tongue likewise must be a firm, solid, and sound creed in the heart. A firm, solid, certain, and sound creed in the heart. And it must be followed up with actions that testify to the correctness of that and to the truthfulness of that. There's a minimum requirement of actions a person must perform for his Islam to be proper. Just like there's a minimum requirement of Iman that one must have in his heart for his Islam to be proper, for his Islam to be proper. So also in Sahih Bukhari, from the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَقُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I was ordered to fight the people until they say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَإِذَا قَالُوهَا وَصَلُّوا صَلَاتَنَا واستقبلوا قبلتنا وذبحوا ذبيحتنا فقد حرمت علينا دماؤهم وأموالهم إلا بحقها وحسابهم على الله. I was ordered to fight the people until they say La ilaha illallah, and if they say it and they pray our prayer and they establish our salah, and the way that we make the salah, and they face our qibla and they slaughter the way that we slaughter, and then فَقَدْ حَرُمَتْ عَلَيْنَا, then their blood and their wealth will become sacred with us, will become sacred with us, and their reckoning will be with Allah, and their reckoning will be with Allah. So it's clear that there must be, along with that testimony, actions that testify to the correctness of that and to the truthfulness of that. And these narrations here that have come in general, they must be understood in the light of the other narrations that have come specifically mentioning these other requirements and conditions for the acceptance of that affair. So this is very clear with regards to these issues here. So these ignorant people, they want to use the likes of these evidences to claim that they do not disbelieve, even if they commit shirk, even if they commit paganism or polytheism, even if they call on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal, even if they believe that someone from the creation can help and aid them and grant them victory over their enemies or provide them affairs that only Allah has the authority and ability to provide. And they're mentioning these evidences to establish their falsehood that they claim. So the author, he says, فَيُقَالُ لِهَؤُلَاءَ الْجَهَلَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. So it will be said, meaning in response to these ignorant pagans, to these ignorant polytheists, yani the grave worshippers. مَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَاتَلَ الْيَهُودَ وَسَبَاهُمْ وَهُمْ يَقُولُونَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He mentions a number of affairs here, the first one. It's known that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he fought the Jews and he took them captive. And they say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And number two, وَأَنَّ أَصْحَابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَاتَلُوا بَنِي حَنِيفَةَ وَهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And that the companions, رضي الله عنهم, they fought Bani Hanifa, and they bear witness to لا إله إلا الله, to Muhammad رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We have seen this a number of classes previously. Banu Hanifa, they accepted Islam with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were Muslims, and they after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a man, his name is Musaylama al-Kadhab, claiming he was a prophet. So along with them saying la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, they, and along with them praying and establish the adhan and claiming to be Muslims and doing other rites from the rites of Islam, also they claimed that Musaylama al-Kadhab was a prophet. So they raised the man to the level of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they violated the shahada anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. They violated that from its very foundation. So the companions declared them to be murtaddin. The companions declared them to be apostates, and they fought them. And so this is something that is known, that they affirm likewise. وَأَنَّ أَصْحَابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَاتَلُوا بَنِي حَنِيفَةَ وَهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَيُصَلُّونَ وَيَدْعُونَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. And the companions of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, they fought Banu Hanifa, and they testify to لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, and they pray and they claim that they're Muslims. وكذلك, number three, وكذلك الذين حركهم علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه بالنار. And likewise those whom Ali رضي الله عنه, he had burned them in the fire, and he had burned them to death in the fire. And likewise these issues had proceeded as well, and there were individuals who were from the companions of Ali, from the students of the companions رضي الله عنهم, and they were along with Ali رضي الله عنه, and fighting with him in battles and the likes like this, and they claimed that Ali was Allah. And they claimed that Ali radiallahu anhu was Allah. And so Ali radiallahu anhu, he reprimanded them. And whenever they did not decease, then he built a fire and he burned them in it. And he as apostates. So all of these affairs here, they're established, and these individuals themselves, they do not deny them. So therefore it's clear that a person, maybe he will be a Muslim, but if he's not careful, he can say or do something or believe something that will take him out of Islam and cause him to apostate and to leave out Islam after entering into the religion. Rather, they themselves, they have in the books of fiqh that they follow, in every single madhab, the chapter Bab Hukum al-Murtad, the chapter with regards to the ruling of the apostate, as has proceeded. Number four, the author says, وَهَؤُلَاهِ الْجَهَلَ مُقِرُّونَ أَنَّ مَنْ أَنْكَرَ الْبَعْثَ كَفَرَ وَقُتِلَ وَلَوْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And those ignorant people, they affirm that whoever denied the resurrection, then he disbelieved. Then he would disbelieve and he would be killed. Yani in the Muslim court, as an apostate, even if he said la ilaha illallah. Wa anna man ankara shay'an min arkan al-islam kafara wa qutila. And that whoever denies something from the pillars of al-islam, then he will disbelieve and he will be killed, yani he will be executed in a Muslim court as an apostate. Wa law qalaha, even if he said la ilaha illallah. So these people, they affirm these affairs. So all of these proofs now, in refutation of them, it's a clarification that they are only making mukabara. They're only being staunch in their desires and following their ways, and they're rejecting the truth in a stubborn manner. And this is clear here, because they're claiming here themselves that they don't fall into shirk, because they say la ilaha illallah. So they slaughter for the grave, and they call on the grave, and they have a creed in the so-called awliya and the likes like this, And they claim that this does not take them out of Islam because they say La ilaha illallah. And this is after refuting every other doubt that they had likewise. So now if they bring this doubt as well, this is how to deal with them. This is again how to deal with them. Or if they bring these evidences here, then this is how to respond to them. We tell them these affairs here. That is clear. The way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions and the scholars of the Ummah, that individuals have left al-Islam after being a Muslim, and they say La ilaha illallah, but that testimony did not benefit them whenever they violated the sacred rights of al-Islam, and they perpetrated actions that nullify the Islam from its foundation. Just like a person, if he were to make wudu, and then in the middle of making wudu, he passed gas, then he will not have tahara. He will not have tahara. If he's in the middle of making wudu, somebody's making wudu, he said bismillah, he starts washing his hands and washing his mouth and his nose and washing his face, washing his right arm, and then suddenly he passed gas. Can he go pray? Can he go pray? Even if he finished the whole thing, and right whenever he finished washing his feet, and next thing you know, he passed gas. Can he go pray? He just made wudu. He said, but I just made wudu. I just made wudu though. What do you mean I can't pray? Why can't I pray? Huh? Because you committed a nullifier from the nullifiers of wudu. Passing gas nullifies the wudu. As if it's not there anymore. Absolutely.
So once a person, he passed gas, then the tahara is gone. Absolutely, it does not remain, not in any aspect. It's been nullified entirely. It's gone entirely. And no one would deny that. So likewise, there are affairs in Islam. If a person, he were to perform them, waliyadhi billah, and we discussed them in our previous class, a number of them, and also the usul of that, they are four. If one were to perform them, then his Islam would be nullified. His Islam would be nullified, like these affairs here, like claiming that there's a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or denying any of the sacred rights of al-Islam, or denying the obligation of salah or zakat, and the likes like this, like the author he's mentioning, or denying the resurrection, or having doubts about the Quran. Is it truly the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal? So on and so forth. All of these affairs are actions of disbelief. And likewise, if a person here were to disgrace the Mus'haf, or to belittle the Mus'haf, or to curse Allah, or to curse the religion, so on and so forth, as has proceeded, then these things, even these people here, they have no doubt that he would apostate and that his Islam would be nullified. So how can they affirm these affairs whenever they discuss the issues of fiqh? But whenever we discuss these issues here about tawheed, then all of a sudden they forget them, or they neglect them, and they act like they do not apply to them. So the author, he's saying this now. He says, رَحِيمُهُ فَكَيْفَ لَا تَنْفَعُهُ إِذَا جَحَدَ شَيْئًا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْفُرُوعِ وَتَنْفَعُهُ إِذَا جَحَدَ التَّوْحِيدِ الَّذِي هُوَ أَسَاسُ دِينِ الرُّسُلِ وَرَأْسُهُ. He says, so how can the shahada not benefit a person? How could the statement, La ilaha illallah, not benefit a person if he denied some of these subsidiary affairs? If he denied some of these branch affairs? For example, he denied the right of zakat. He said it's not obligatory upon him. He denied the right of zakat. Or if he denied the obligation of hajj. We have seen that likewise. There's a consensus. If someone said hajj is not an obligation, then this is a statement of disbelief. So how could the statement, they agree with this, how could the statement La ilaha illallah not benefit a person who denied some of these affairs that are from the subsidiary issues of al-Islam? And it would benefit him if he denied the tawheed, which is the foundation of the religion of the messengers and the head of it, yani meaning that the salah and the zakah and the sawm and the hajj and the other rites of al-Islam, no doubt they are great, no doubt they are major, but these affairs here, they must be based upon tawheed. And if there's no tawheed, then the salat is not accepted, no matter how well one prayed outwardly, or no matter how much charity he gave, no matter how many days he fasted, or no matter how many times he made the pilgrimage or he made umrah. It will never be accepted if it's not based upon tawheed. So the tawheed is the foundation. So how can they claim that a person will not benefit from the testimony La ilaha illallah if he denied one of these subsidiary affairs, and it will benefit him if he denied the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the very foundation of the religion in the first place? which is the foundation of the religion in the first place. So the author, he says, ولكن أعداء الله مفاهيم معنى الحديث. But the enemies of Allah, they did not understand the meaning of these narrations. They did not understand the meaning of these narrations. So the meaning of these narrations that is mentioned here and what is intended from them is that the one who says La ilaha illallah, the one who is coming outside of the fold of Al-Islam, he's coming from disbelief and entering into the fold of Al-Islam, if he says La ilaha illallah, then initially his blood becomes sacred. Then initially his blood becomes sacred. But that sacredness and that security that he has and that right that he has of brotherhood from us is temporary until his Islam is verified. It's temporary until his Islam is verified. So the isma of the one who says La ilaha illallah, the sacredness and the protection and the right of the one who says La ilaha illallah is from two aspects, the initial aspect and the permanent aspect. So the initial aspect is whenever a person, he comes outside of Al-Islam and he says the testimony to enter. So now in this state here, he has protected his blood and he has initially entered into the fold of Al-Islam. But the Muslims, they have to be careful with him and cautious to make sure that he's sincere and that his Islam is good. And if it's seen from him actions clarifying that his Islam is proper and good, then he is our brother and he has the rights that we have, and what is upon us is upon him and what is for us is for him. And he's our brother and his blood and his honor and his wealth become sacred. But if we see from him contrary to that, someone he comes and says La ilaha illallah, he takes the shahada with us in the masjid, and then after that he doesn't do anything to establish the religion, whether we see from him contrary to that, and he doesn't change his life and he doesn't change his way, whether he continues to do actions that violate and nullify Al-Islam, then his blood will not be sacred and he will not be from our brothers. So just to simply say it is not sufficient. Rather, first saying it, yes, this will enter him initially into the fold of Al-Islam, and then after that he must learn and apply the religion in a minimum amount for his Islam to be established. For his Islam to be established. Because somebody, he may say it and then he may apostate immediately, or he may say it based upon desires or whims or other reasons and likes like this, and then not actually embrace Al-Islam and continue upon his faith and learn the requirements of the deen and establish it in his life. So this is the case. The one who says La ilaha illallah, the origin is that we refrain from harming him, but we must check and verify. So we would not just, for example, this is some mistakes people make today, and many problems come about by way of that. Somebody will come to us and accept Islam, and then the next day, marry him to one of our daughters. Now this is wrong. Many times you'll find that same person, he does not continue upon Islam. And now there's a Muslim woman married to a disbeliever. He doesn't pray, he doesn't change his ways, he still does the same thing that he did before he was a Muslim, so on and so forth. So alhamdulillah, if people come to us and they accept Islam, we're happy for them and we encourage them, and that's what we hope for them, good for them. But we'll be careful initially in dealing with them. We'll give them their apparent rights, but we will check them. If they will check them and check on them, and if it's clear to us that their Islam has become good and they're establishing the religion, they're establishing the prayer, so on and so forth, they're making effort to learn, even if they still have some misconceptions or doubts, we be patient with them and the likes like this, and we teach them and we show them. But if he comes and he makes the shahada and then he leaves and never comes back, or he never prays again after that, or he never learns how to pray, or he never changes his life, he still claims that alcohol is good, he's still smoking weed on the street, he's still doing all these things, nothing at all changed, he has not initiated his Islam, then his Islam is not good. And it's not going to be accepted from him. So it's not sufficient just to make the statement, La ilaha illallah, and that's it. Rather, there are conditions and requirements that must be met. The one who enters into the fold of Al-Islam, initially he has a period of leniency. He has to learn and will be patient with him and the likes like this. But if he doesn't take the initiative, then his Islam will not be established. This is the point that we want to make. This is the point that we want to make. So the author, he says, فَأَمَّا حَدِيثُ أُسَامَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ قَتَلَ رَجُلًا ادَّعَى الْإِسْلَامِ بِسَبَبِ أَنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ مَدَّعَاهُ إِلَّا خَوْفًا عَلَى دَمِهِ وَمَالِهِ. As for the narration of Usama radiallahu anhu, then he had killed a man who claimed al-Islam. The reason that he killed him is he thought that he's only claiming to accept Islam out of fear for his blood and his property. Out of fear for his blood and his property. This is an indication likewise that the companions, they had the understanding radiallahu anhum that the statement La ilaha illallah must be a creed, a certain creed in the heart. It's a statement on the tongue, but likewise it must be a certain creed in the heart. So here there are circumstantial evidences indicating the man, he's not sincere. The man, he just killed this person and that person and that person and that person, and then he fled. And then whenever they catch up with him and the sword is over his head, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. So this is what Usama, he is saying. This is how he looked at the situation. The man, he's only saying it now based upon this reason. He's trying to play us. This is what he's thinking. He's trying to play games with us and trying to save his life like this, like the religion is something light. You're going to kill us and fight us and go to war with us. And then whenever we have authority over you, say La ilaha illallah. Yani, this is the doubt that he had here, why he killed him, even after he said La ilaha illallah. So what is understood from this is that the Sahaba, they know radiallahu anhum, and they believe that the shahada is not only a testimony on the tongue, but rather it must be certain creed in the heart. But rather, it must be certain creed in the heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reprimanded him in this affair because now he had taken the shahada. So now he had made that statement. So he has those rights initially. So once he made that statement, now we have to verify. So now he has entered into the fold of al-Islam with that claim. So what we have now in certainty is that the man, he said it. What we have now in certainty is that the man, he said it. So we're not allowed to harm him based upon doubts or circumstantial evidences that cause us to have a bad thought about him. Rather, we must verify. So since he said it now, and we have certainty that he said it, that certainty is not removed. And those rights are not violated based upon doubts and misconceptions. So somebody who we know he's a Muslim, that's all we know about him. He's not taken out of Islam by way of doubts. This is the point here from this narration. This is why the Prophet ﷺ reprimanded him. Not meaning that the man, he can say La ilaha illallah and do whatever he wants, and that is sufficient, but rather he said it now, so we have certainty that he mentioned that. So now before that is violated or nullified, we must verify. We must check. We must make sure. Because the origin now is that he said it. And whoever said it, then his blood becomes sacred initially. Unless contrary becomes apparent from him. So now the Shaykh, he says, وَالرَّجُلُ إِذَا أَظْهَرَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَجَبَ الْكَفُّ عَنْهُ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ مِنْهُ مَا يُخَالِفُ ذَلِكَ. And a man, if he outwardly displays al-Islam and he claims to be a Muslim, then it's an obligation to withhold and refrain from harming him until it becomes clear from him something that's contrary to that. And he claims to be a Muslim, for example, and then we must accept that, unless we see him, for example, prostrating to a statue, or the likes like this, prostrating to a statue. Now we see something contrary, and he used to be a Buddhist. And then he accepted Islam, but then he's still going to Buddha. So now we have evidence that his Islam is not proper, and that his claim for Islam is not correct, because he didn't leave his old ways. But as for if we don't have any evidence like that, then the origin is that he's a Muslim. We don't have no right to violate the rights that he has, not in his blood, not in his wealth, not in his honor, until that which is contrary becomes clear. وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي ذَلِكَ. And Allah revealed about this. يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. And Allah revealed about this, yani about this issue here, verifying people's Islam before declaring them to be disbelievers and violating their rights and shedding their blood and taking their wealth and property. O you who believe, if you go out through the land in the path of Allah, then you must clarify. Then you must clarify. It's been mentioned a number of reasons, asbab al-nuzul, for this verse, and different reasons for the reason of this. It's been mentioned that there was a man, he had a small group of sheep, and then one of the believers went to him and he said, Assalamu alaikum. And he gave salam, and the man killed him. The believer killed him. One of the companions killed him and took his sheep. And the likes like this. And this verse was revealed. And another wording, he said, La ilaha illallah. And so the point is that this was revealed about that. That somebody who, they went to this man, he had a small flock of sheep. And then whenever they seen him, the man, he greeted them with salam. Assalamu alaikum, the greeting of the Muslims. So the man, he's thinking that it's similar. He's only saying that to save his property or to save his blood. So he killed him. And then likewise, this verse is revealed about this. So this is what the author, he's referring to. That, O you who believe, if you go out through the land in the path of Allah, فَتَبَيَّنُوا فَتَبَيَّنُوا. So you have to clarify an ayah to the end of the verse. أَيْ تَثَبَّتُوا تَثَبَّتُوا. So you don't say, يعني, you don't say to the one who gives you salam, you're not a Muslim. Huh? You're not a Muslim. You have to verify first. You have to check first. You have to make sure first. You can't just declare people who display outwardly they're Muslims to be disbelievers without any evidence, based upon doubts or misconceptions, without any clear, certain proof. He says, فَالْآيَةُ تُدُولُ عَلَى أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ الْكَفُّ عَنْهُ وَتَثَبُّتُ فَإِنْ تَبَيَّنَ مِنْهُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ مَا يُخَالِفُ الْإِسْلَامِ قُتِلَ. So that this ayat indicates that it's an obligation to withhold from harming the person and to verify. So if it is verified, it becomes clear that which is contrary to Islam, and that which is in opposition to Islam in entirety, then he will be killed. Any meaning in a Muslim court. Any at the hands of a Muslim judge. At the ruling of a Muslim judge. لِقَوْلِهِ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Based upon the statement of Allah, you must clarify. Therefore verify. وَلَوْ كَانَ لَا يُكْتَرُ إِذَا قَالَهَا لَمْ يَكُنِ التَّثَبُّتِ مَعْنَى. And if he would not be killed, if he said it, then if he would not be killed, وَلَوْ كَانَ لَا يُكْتَرُ إِذَا قَالَهَا لَمْ يَكُنِ التَّثَبُّتِ مَعْنَى. And if he's not killed, if he said it, then there's no meaning here to order to seek verification or to clarify. And so Allah, he's ordering that before you shed their blood or harm them or take their wealth and property, you have to clarify, you have to verify. So if he's not going to be killed and his wealth is not going to be taken, there's no meaning for saying then clarify or you must verify. You understand? So the reason for verifying is because if he is a Muslim, then he will have the sacred rights of a Muslim. But if he's not, and he's an enemy in war, then he will be fought and killed. You understand? So this is very clear likewise. So he says, وَكَذَلِكَ الْحَدِيثُ الْآخَرُ وَأَمْثَارُهُ مَعْنَاهُمَا ذَكَرْتُ أَنَّ مَنْ أَظْهَرَ الْإِسْلَامَ وَالتَّوْحِيدَ وَجَبَ الْكَفُّ عَنْهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَبَيَّنَ مِنْهُ مَا يُنَاقِضُ ذَلِكَ. And the other hadith, and the other narration, and the likes of it, the meaning is that which I have mentioned. And that is that the one who displays outwardly al-Islam and at Tawheed, it's an obligation to withhold from harming him, to refrain from harming him, except if it becomes clear that he has done something that nullifies the faith. So we have seen that previously. A person, he is a Muslim, but if he were to curse Allah, then he had now done something that nullifies the faith. That a person, he is a Muslim, but if he were to deny the obligation of Salah or Zakat or Sawm or Hajj and say it's a personal choice and decision, I don't have to if I don't want to, then he had nullified his Islam. And there's other affairs likewise that we have discussed, that the people of knowledge have a consensus that the one who performs it has nullified his Islam. The one who performs it has nullified his Islam. So then the author, he says, وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَى هَذَا أَنَّ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي قال أقتلته بعدما قال لا إله إلا الله. And the proof for this is that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the one who said, did you kill him after he said لا إله إلا الله؟ وقال أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يقولوا لا إله إلا الله. And the same one صلى الله عليه وسلم who said, I was ordered to fight the people until they say لا إله إلا الله, هو الذي قال في الخوارج أينما لقيتموهم فاقتلوهم لئن أدركتهم لأقتلنهم لئن أدركتهم لأقتلنهم قتل عاد. He's the same one who said about the Khawarij that wherever you meet them, kill them. Wherever you meet them, kill them. And if I were to meet them, then I will kill them in the manner of Ad, in the manner of the killing of Ad, meaning I would destroy them and wipe them off of the face of the earth in entirety. Meaning I would destroy them and wipe them off the face of the earth in entirety. So the same one who made these statements about the sacredness of the blood of the one who says La ilaha illallah, he's the same one who made these statements. And the Khawarij, they are known for this statement La ilaha illallah, and making tasbih and making tahleel, and making the, whenever the, you go to their camp, it's like bees buzzing from the dhikr and the recitation of the Quran. And even they have sores on their hands and on their foreheads from prostration. They have sores on their hands and their foreheads from prostration. The Shaykh, he says, مَعْكَوْنِهِ مَنْ أَكْثَرِ النَّاسِ عِبَادَةً تَكْبِيرًا وَالتَّهْرِيرًا. Along with the fact that these people have the most worship in making takbir, Allahu Akbar, making tahleel, la ilaha illallah. حَتَّى إِنَّ الصَّحَابَةَ يَحْكِرُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ عِنْدَهُمْ. Until the companions, they will belittle themselves compared to them. And the amount of worship that they're doing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that تَحْكِرُونَ صَلَاتَكُمْ إِلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ وَقِرَاءَتَكُمْ إِلَى قِرَاءَتِهِمْ. That you will belittle, and you will consider your prayer insignificant or small compared to their prayer, and your recitation considered light compared to theirs. Along with all of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he swore that he will kill them, and he ordered that they should be killed wherever they're found, because of their deviation, because of their misguidance, because of their deviation, and because of their misguidance. So then he says, Rahimahullah, وَهُمْ تَعَلَّمُوا الْعِلْمَ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ. And these Khawarij, they learn knowledge from the companions. فَلَمْ تَنْفَعُهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. So لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ did not benefit them. وَلَا كَثْرَةُ الْعِبَادَةِ. And also having a lot of worship did not benefit them as well. وَلَا الدِّعَاءُ الْإِسْلَامِ لَمَّا ظَهَرَ مِنْهُمْ مُخَالَفَةُ الشَّرِيَةِ. And likewise, the claim of Al-Islam did not benefit them as well after it is apparent, after what appeared from them from opposing the legislation. With regards to the Khawarij, the people of knowledge from the Madhahib al-Arba'ah, the four Madhahib which are well known, that are followed and all considered, there are two opinions with regards to the Khawarij. One of them is that they're disbelievers, and the others is that they're bugat, they're transgressors, that they're fusaq, that they're corrupt and wicked Muslims. So one opinion is that they're disbelievers, and one opinion is that they're Muslims. So some of the scholars, they have found them to be disbelievers, and there are evidences that indicate this, that are very strong with that regard. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, يَمْرُقُونَ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ كَمَا يَمْرُقُ السَّهَمْ مِنَ الرَّمِيَّةِ. That they go out of Islam the same way the arrow goes out of the game. Even some wordings that there's nothing even left on the shaft. It goes through quickly. And then if you look at the shaft, it's almost like there's nothing there. The shaft of the arrow. So when you shoot an arrow through the game, does it come back? No, it doesn't come back. Even the Messenger emphasized, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if you were to look at the arrow, it's almost as if there's nothing there. No trace of blood or nothing. Meaning they go through the deen and out the other side, and do not return. So a number of the people of knowledge had mentioned that this is from the evidences that they're disbelievers. Whenever Ali, who was asked about their disbelief, he said, radiallahu anhu, min al-kufri farru. Min al-kufri farru. And if they're fleeing from disbelief. And he didn't consider them to be disbelievers, and Allah knows best. So in any case, if they're considered disbelievers, then it's clear. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fought them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought them because of their disbelief. Although they're saying la ilaha illallah, that did not benefit them. they do not benefit them. And even on the other position, likewise, if we're to not consider them disbelievers, if we consider them to be from the evil and from the misguided and deviant and the sinful of the Muslims, then even more rightful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still fought them. So how about one? So if they didn't violate and invalidate their Islam, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had encouraged to fight them, and mentioned that he would kill them in this manner, although they're still Muslims, then how about one who violated Islam in entirety? How about one who nullified that Islam? So even if they're not declared to be disbelievers, they still will be fought. They still will be fought because of the evil that they have. So maybe a person, he will be a Muslim, but because of his evil, he will be fought. Even many of the people of knowledge, the majority of them who believe that the one who leaves the salah and does not pray it, he will be taken to account and he will be ordered to pray. And if he refuses to pray, they believe that he should be executed in the Muslim court. But they believe that he would die as a Muslim. But still the point is that his blood will be shed. You understand that? Even though they believe he's a Muslim. So even then, this is what the narrations mean before, even the narration that was general, إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامُ وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, that their blood is sacred, that their wealth is sacred, that their honor is sacred, except for the right of al-Islam. So if they violate one of these rights of al-Islam by nullifying the religion entirety, then that's not sacred anymore. Or even if they violate some of the rights of al-Islam that are lesser than that, but they're from these great sacred rights that have legal punishments, then their blood is not sacred anymore. Rather, the right now and justice now is that they will be taken to court and that they will be judged properly according to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that includes in certain cases capital punishment. So the point is now that these people, they have no proof. These people, they have no evidence. And then the author, he says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَا ذَكَرْنَا مِنْ قِتَالِ الْيَهُودِ وَقِتَالِ الصَّحَابَةِ. And likewise, what we have mentioned with regards to fighting the Jews, and وَقِتَالِ الصَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ بَانِي حَنِيفَ, and the fighting of the Sahaba against the tribe of Bani Hanifa. وَكَذَلِكَ أَرَادَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يَغْزُوَ بَانِي الْمُصْطَلِقِ لَمَّا أَخْبَرَهُ رَجُلٌ أَنَّهُمْ مَنَعُوا الزَّكَاةِ حَتَّى أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. الآية. وَكَانَ الرَّجُلُ كَاذِبًا عَلَيْهِمْ. And likewise also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he intended to raid Bani al-Mustaliq. Bani al-Mustaliq is a tribe from the Arab. Whenever a man informed him that they prohibited to pay the zakat, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent a sa'i. He sent a worker to go collect the zakat of Bani al-Mustaliq. And then he came back and he informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they said they were not going to give it. They prohibited to give him the zakat, but he was lying. And he claimed that about them, and he lied against them. And in this right, the verse was revealed, O you who believe, if a fasiq, a corrupt and lying individual, if a corrupt sinner, a wicked person comes to you with information, then you must verify. Until the end of the verse. The Shaykh, he says, and the man, he was lying on them. So the point from this one is, the point from this story here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had intended to go fight them whenever they withheld and refrained from paying the zakat. If they had denied that obligation, then they will be fought as apostates, waliyadhu billah. But even if they did not deny the obligation, whether they withheld out of stinginess, then it's upon the Muslim ruler to go take it by force. And if they fight the Muslim ruler, they will be fought. Rather, a number of the people of knowledge have mentioned that the one who refuses to pay the zakat and then he fights in withholding the zakat, this is an indication that he believes it's not an obligation. This is an indication that he has disbelieved with regards to that right. And that it's one thing if a person, he withheld out of stinginess, and then whenever the Muslim ruler comes to take it by force, he gives it up. And khalas, go ahead and take it. But for the one to take up arms against the Muslim ruler in order to withhold from paying the zakat, a number of the people of knowledge mentioned that this is an indication that these people have disbelieved in that right. They will only go to this distance because they do not believe it's an obligation for them to give it. And Allah knows best. And this goes back to the issue with regards to the Murtadeen in the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So the author, he says now, فَكُلُّ هَذَا يَدُولُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مُرَادَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الْوَارِدَ مَا ذَكَرْنَا. So all of this indicates that what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam intended from these narrations that have come is that which we have mentioned. What did we mention? And what did he mention, rahimahullah? What is intended from these narrations? The one who makes the statement La ilaha illallah, then initially he enters into the fold of Al-Islam, and upon that his blood and his wealth and his property is sacred. But this sacredness remains initially, and we must verify and clarify. And if it's seen from him that which indicates he's striving to learn and to implement his faith and his Islam is becoming good, then now that isma is established and firm. Now that sacredness and that brotherhood is established and affirmed. As for if some time passes and it's not seen from him, these affairs, whether what contrary to Al-Islam is seen from him, affairs that are in opposition to the deen of Al-Islam comes from him, then now that isma is not established. And Allah knows best. I want to remind the noble brothers and sisters and those listening, barakallahu fikum, that the wisdom and the reason for the likes of these texts and clarifying these issues and discussing the topics of apostasy is not to simply declare the people disbelievers. It's not to go making takfir on the people. So we're not just saying these affairs just to make takfir on them, to establish the ruling of takfir on them, but rather to protect the Muslims. To protect the Muslims, the people of Tawheed. Those who are upon Tawheed already, their Tawheed will become firm, more firm. Their Tawheed will become more firm. Their Iman will become more firm. They will see clear now these issues and they will have no doubts about them, and they will not be affected by the misconceptions and the misunderstandings and these shubahat that these people they have because they're dangerous. So in this manner is the preservation of the religion and the preservation of the people of the religion, protecting the people of the Sunnah, and also clarifying these affairs to them in hopes that they will see these issues and they will repent. They will see that this is disbelief, that what their forefathers was on is falsehood, and that which maybe their society is based upon is falsehood, and that what they're upon is an evil way, and that what they're doing is contrary to Al-Islam in entirety, and that they're in a very dangerous state, and that they should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and feel shamed that they have violated His great right, and the great right to be worshipped alone, and that they had directed the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla to someone from the creation, and they had fallen into this lowly way, and they should repent and return back to Allah, and this is what is hoped. And if not that, then the evidence is established against them, لِيَحْيَ مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَا وَلِيَهْدِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَا, so that the people who live, they will live upon clarity, and those who are destroyed, and those who perish, they can perish upon clarity, so that there will be insight here. The people of truth, they will have insight with regards to this affair, and then likewise the people of evil and deviation, they will be silenced, and it will be made clear their falsehood, and the deen will become upright, and the people of truth will have authority, and the people of misguidance and deviation, they will be belittled and have no establishment. So therefore the wisdom from this is jihad, and clarifying the truth, and clarifying the proper understanding, and defending the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aiding and helping the believers and protecting the Muslims from deviation and warning from falsehood, not simply just to declare people disbelievers, not simply just to go declaring people disbelievers and to take their wealth and take their property. This is not the whole aim and the intent. Rather, wallahi, it's a great aim and a great intent and a great effort to protect the creed and to defend the tawheed and to help the Muslims to be firm and to be upright and to strive to guide the misguided from this ummah back to the straight path. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.